Let's take out our Bibles and turn over to the book of Psalms. For the last couple of months, we've been focusing on the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll have a look at a couple of scriptures in there this morning. But today I thought that we'd take a little bit of a break from 2 Corinthians, just to really focus on being thankful. You know, this coming Thursday, for the Americans, they celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And I've never been to a Thanksgiving meal. I know that they can be, for people living in the States, they're almost as big as a Christmas dinner, I guess. And it's quite a big deal. And so if you're American out there and you want to invite me sometime, and that's okay. You can do that. But you know, I believe it's only America and Canada and the Philippines who have a national Thanksgiving Day. The reality is, I think every nation on earth should have a day of Thanksgiving, at least one. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 100. Did I say Psalms 100? David writes, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." You know, the Bible tells us that the whole earth should shout for joy to the Lord. The Bible tells us that his faithfulness endures for all generations. Every single one of us, we have something to be thankful for. And you know, one of the reasons why this Sunday I wanted just to talk about being thankful was I just felt so grateful in my own life for so many things. Firstly, I want to be say thank you to all of you, just for all of your prayers for my health. But these last few months have been a bit challenging for me, and you know, I sat there listening to James and Kathy sharing, and it helped put things in perspective. Just listening to all the things that they've gone through and they've been through, and to cope with Ash's ill health, and I honestly, I just sat there feeling so grateful, because it's one thing if you're in ill health, but it's another thing if your child is going through ill health. It feels so much worse. You know, as a parent, you want to spare your children from any and every challenge. And that's not necessarily in their best interest, but that's just the way you feel. You feel this protective instinct that you want to take care of them. And I first experienced that the hour that Sarah was born, the very first time I held her in my hands, and she was born with jaundice. It's not uncommon for a number of you born to have that, but she was born jaundice, and so the first thing they needed to do was take some blood. And so the midwife gave her to me, and I was holding her, looking at her, and she said, "Okay, now if you can just hold her, we're just going to take some blood." And they got a lancet, and they wanted to take some blood from her heel, and they would stab her. And I looked at Sarah, and she was looking at me, and then all of a sudden, this nurse, she stabbed her in the heel, and it started to bleed, and she got a little bit of the blood on there. But Sarah was looking at me, and she got this pain in her heel, and then she burst into tears, and it was almost like I was the one who had done it, and she was looking at me with these accusing eyes. "What have you done? I'm only 5 minutes old, and you're already hurting me." And I felt this protective instinct, like, "Don't stab my daughter, here, stab me instead," you know. But that's the way we feel as parents. We want to protect our children. For James and Kathy to go through all that challenge with their son Asher, I thought, boy, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I wasn't in that situation. But this week, on Wednesday morning, I woke up and everything was very different for me. I woke up and all of a sudden, I thought to myself, I don't feel sick. I don't feel nauseous. I don't feel dizzy. I don't feel like the world is spinning. I don't feel like throwing up. I cautiously got out of bed, and I thought, I wonder if this is going to last. That was my first thought. But it did, throughout the rest of the day, and then the following day, and the day after that, and, you know, I sent a few messages around to some people saying I'm feeling so much better today, and I was just feeling so encouraged. I came to, we had our leadership meeting on Friday night, for all family group leaders and open for everyone, but I came along, I was just feeling so encouraged, and I was just feeling so just buoyant. Honestly, you don't know how much you appreciate something until it's gone. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, I've been sick for the last couple of months, 2.5 months, and it's something I had last year as well, that lasted 4 months. This time it's only lasted 2.5 months, it's getting better. Yes, hopefully I'll never have to go through this again. But during that period, I was just trying to be very positive and stay focused on all the good things. But, you know, as time goes by, it's so hard just to stay positive all the time. It's so hard just to stay focused on all the blessings. And yet, you know, that's actually what we're called to do. We're called to give thanks in all situations, in all circumstances. But that's a hard thing to do. My mother had this saying, you never miss the water till the well runs dry. You don't really appreciate what you have until it's taken away. And, you know, this week our fridge broke down. In fact, the day I got well, on Wednesday, our fridge broke down, the freeze, I didn't care. I was just feeling good about my life. I was feeling good about being healthy. But our fridge broke down. But you don't realize how much you depend on it until it's no longer there. And, you know, I didn't realize how often in the middle of the night, because I couldn't sleep, I'm ill, how often I would just go to the fridge to open it up and see what is there that I can sample. And I've noticed it these last few days, but that's okay. You know, I'm thinking to myself, our fridge is broken, but at least it's cold outside. Which means we can just stick all our food outside and keep it cold, and that's what we've been doing. Don't come round in the middle of the night and help yourself. But nonetheless, there's so many things to be grateful for. There's so much in life to be thankful for. Look over in First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul writes, let's pick up there in verse 16. He says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. That's a challenge, because I know some of your circumstances, and I know some of the difficulties and some of the challenges that you're faced with. It's hard. To be thankful in all circumstances, really? To be thankful in all circumstances? No, he doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances, but he says be thankful in all circumstances. The reality is this, no matter how challenging and how difficult our life is, actually there is always something we can find to be thankful for. No matter how difficult life is. There's always something we can. But this isn't an excuse for us to be insensitive to one another. When people are going through challenges, that's not the time to say you've got to be thankful. Because so oftentimes we don't know what it's like to be in another person's shoes. I think that's one of the reasons why we pray. It's one of the reasons why I'm so grateful for this congregation, just because I've had so many messages of, bro, I'm praying for you. Even just last week, so many people came up to me and said, you know, I took a day out just to fast for you and pray for your health. And honestly, I think God has answered all of your prayers. But I'm just grateful for the fact that as a congregation, as a family, that we can rejoice with one another, we can also mourn with one another. That when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. that there's an empathy that we can have. That's what God wants for all of us. But Paul, he says we've got to be thankful. We've got to be joyful always. We've got to give thanks in all circumstances. Well, what were some of his circumstances? Well, let me show you. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, Paul's life was far from easy. He had his own challenges to deal with. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." He says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but he says, at least we're not crushed. He says, we're perplexed, but at least we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but at least we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. You know, Paul modeled the very thing that he commands for all of us. It's that in all circumstances that we can find something to give thanks for. That no matter how difficult, how challenging life gets, there's always something we can be grateful for. You know, I had Jack come around the other day to help me move the fridge out. Because the kitchen we live in is all integrated, so we've got all the appliances were all kind of built in, and so replacing the fridge freezer is not exactly the most straightforward of tasks, and so we've got to figure out getting the carpenter in and everything else. But we managed to get the date broke down. You know, Larry happened to come round that morning, and he gave us a hand, and Jacket was there, and we moved this fridge out, and underneath the fridge there was a dead mouse, and I was really grateful for that, because I'd rather have a dead mouse than a live mouse running around. And you know, my son had spotted a mouse a few weeks ago, saying, "Dad, I saw a mouse in the kitchen." This is back when I wasn't feeling so well. And I said, "Where was it?" He said, "He's over here." And he said, "It went in this corner." And I looked, and there was a hole there. So I thought, I can't be dealing with this. So I just duct taped the hole up. I just locked it up. I thought, I can't go to the shops. I can't get the rat mouse poison or anything. So that's the mouse. It was under the fridge. I thought, see, it took care of itself. I didn't need to worry about it. You know, but we moved it out, and then we couldn't find the where the electricity supply was and everything for the fridge, and a bit of a hassle and all the rest of it. But so what? You know, it doesn't matter the challenges we face in life. There's always something for us to be positive about. You know, it's just when we took up the collection last week for those people in the Philippines who are going through some very difficult times right now. You know, the average annual income for a person in the Philippines is something along the lines of $1,000 a year. It's unbelievable. They're in such terrible situation, and then to their situation to be made even worse. And you know, even as we had the appeal, I thought, boy, we have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be thankful for. Paul says, when we go through these challenging times, he says that we carry around our body the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. You know, how you deal with a difficult situation, it's incredible how when times are dark, that's when you have the opportunity to allow your light to shine even brighter. There's something about someone who's positive, even when they're going through challenges, that speaks volumes. I'm going to show you a video clip for... I came across this just recently. It's a little girl who had to make a 999-911 call. Here, I'll let it speak for itself.
Okay, so I had a more serious note, but still joyful because everything's okay. But there was this little girl in Indiana whose father started to have chest pains and was struggling to breathe. She's 5 years old. The father calls 911 as he's starting to feel that he's in trouble. The minute 911 connects, he can't talk because he's struggling to breathe. And his 5-year-old daughter takes control. Here she is. I'll do it in part pieces, but here she is talking through it.
My dad can't hold the broom.
Okay, hold on a second, okay?
Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 5 years old.
Okay, what's your name?
Savannah.
Okay, Savannah, hold on. I'm getting them this brush, okay?
Okay. You need to come real fast.
Okay, Savannah, I have them on the way. Is your daddy still away?
Yeah.
Okay. Is your front door unlocked, Savannah?
Is that front door unlocked? No.
Okay, Savannah, can you go unlock that front door for me?
Sure.
Okay.
Come on, Dad.
Okay. So she stays calm and collected while she's talking to the 911 operator. But what's so adorable is that she's giving, you know, just getting basic information, but she's concerned that she's not really dressed for when the firemen get there.
Can you ask him if this has ever happened before?
Has this ever happened? No. So far, so good. He's so low.
Hey, ask him if he has any kind of chest pain.
You have any chest pain? Yes.
Okay.
This is his first time.
Okay. I got him on the way, so...
Okay. We're in our jammies. And I'm in a TikTok, so I'll have to get dressed.
Okay.
I know what I'm going to wear, but he really needs that to go real fast. Yes, he better go now.
Okay.
Okay.
It actually goes on for another couple of minutes, but just for the sake of time, we'll stop it there. But frequently she says throughout the conversation, so far so good, so far so good. Honestly, there's something that's really engaging, just about someone who can be positive when things are challenging. You know, we have Christmas coming up next month. It's literally just around the corner. And we already... Many of us have been making lists for, okay, our Christmas list. What is it that we need to buy? What is it that we would like for ourselves? I wonder, how often do we make a list of just all the things in our life that we need to be thankful for? All the things that we need to be grateful for? You know, I came across just such a list that several housewives compiled. And they put together a list of things that they were thankful for. And top of the list, I'll just read it to you. It says, automatic dishwashers, because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after dinner snacks. We're thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house, because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. We're thankful for children to put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy, and you hate to see them go home to their own parents. We're thankful for teenagers because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. We're thankful for smoke alarms because they let you know when the turkey's done. You know, honestly, we have so many things to be thankful for in life. And we need to take time just to really stop and list all the things that we are grateful for. I'm thankful for the church, I'm thankful for the congregation. But then I was thinking, we had a... Rashida and Juveen came round a couple of weeks back. Because I was sick, they came round just to cook a meal for myself and the family. And honestly, it was just so moving. We came in, they wouldn't let us into the kitchen or dining room until it was all ready. And then when we came in, there were fresh flowers around the room. They had all these, it wasn't just dinner, there were these little cakes and pastries that they baked and made and everything from scratch. And honestly, it just looked amazing. And I went and got my camera. I've got to take pictures. And for the first 10 minutes, the whole family, we stood around taking photographs of everything. And then we sat down to eat, and it was phenomenal. And it was just so encouraging. And honestly, we're just so grateful to have friends like that. But it wasn't just Rashida and Jibin. Other people, they brought food around. Yolanda gave me some fish stew a few weeks back. And other people brought around food. Kathy baked a cake for us and brought that around. And I mean, it's just, honestly, we're just so overwhelmed with just the giving hearts and the serving hearts of the Christians. I was, as I was praying, honestly, I was getting kind of choked up. about all the things I'm so grateful for. You know, during the last couple of months that I've been ill, I'm so grateful for my wife, that she's had to really shoulder so many of the challenges in the home just because I've not been able to do very much at all. I was grateful for the leadership team. I was grateful for Paul and Andy picking up the slack and just stepping in at short notice to do communions or different things and organising different parts of the ministry just because I've not been able to do stuff. I was grateful for people like Martin and Scott who stepped in to do communion at short notice just because I wasn't able to keep up with doing the communion rota while I was ill. I was grateful for, I mean, honestly, the list just kept growing longer and longer. I was grateful for the children's ministry workers, for Ian and Carmen and all the teachers and everyone who just gives so much of their time honestly, it just went on and on and on. We have doctors in the congregation and they would all come up to me and they'd give me advice and input, and some of them would give me prescriptions and even this morning Rick and Lan down from Cambridge, and they brought me some tablets for migraines. And honestly, I just, the list has kept growing longer and longer, and I'm just so grateful that as a family that we can take care of one another. That's the way it ought to be. You know, what situation are you going through right now? Do you find things to be thankful for? There's so much for us to be grateful for. You know, C.S. Lewis said, "We ought to give thanks for all fortune. If it's good fortune, then we give thanks because it is good. If it's bad, because it works in us patience, humility, and contempt of this world and the hope for our eternal country." Someone else said, "You can't be grateful for something you feel entitled to." You know, being grateful helps us actually just realize we are unworthy. We are undeserving. If we feel like we deserve something, it's hard to be grateful. But as Christians, we have much to be thankful for. And it's so easy for us to focus on all the things that we don't have instead of all the things that we do have. You know, in Philippians 2, the Bible says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." You know, there's something about complaining is the exact opposite of gratitude. You know, and it's so easy for us to focus on negatives. It's so easy for us to focus on things and find things to complain about instead of, as Christians, finding the things to be grateful for. At the very least, be grateful for every breath you take. Be grateful. If you've got a headache, be grateful that you've got a head that can hurt. Honestly, seriously, just there's so much for us to be thankful for. Charles Spurgeon, he said, "It's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. If you're not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied even if it were doubled." So often we think, "Oh, if only I had this, if only I had that." If you can't be content with what you do have, you're not going to be content even if you had more. It's delightfully easy to thank God for the grace we have received, but it requires great grace to thank God always for the grace given to others. You know, it's interesting, because sometimes we feel like, "Well, I'm so grateful for that God has, forgiven me of my sins." But then when the other people have been sinful towards us, we feel like they deserve to be punished instead of extending God's grace to others as well. You know, being thankful in all circumstances, being grateful in all situations, I think that's a sign of maturity, of spiritual maturity. When you have a baby, how often does that baby say thank you? Even as a child grows up, It's something that has to be taught. You know, you can be up all night with your child who's sick and taking care of them, tending to their needs. When they get well, do they say, "Wow, thank you for giving up your time"? It's something that has to be taught. You have to teach your children to say thank you. We had Andrew and Kasia come round to our house last night. They brought their children, and their children are adorable. But their first language is Polish, but the kids are young, they're 2 and 3.5. And now their English is as good as their Polish almost, and so they're there, and you know, we gave them, I gave their son a biscuit, and Tati said, say thank you, and he goes, thank you. And it's so cute. It's just, they reminded me of the Charlie Brown cartoons, where, you know, they've got these little bodies with these little, they look like little mini adults and walking around, and it's so gorgeous. And but it reminded me of a cartoon, a Snoopy cartoon, where Snoopy, it's Thanksgiving Day in America, and he's, Charlie Brown brings out his food, and he puts it for him. It's his usual dog food. He goes, what, dog food? When everyone else sitting around eating turkey? Because I'm a dog, I get dog food? And then the last cartoon is, could be worse, I could be a turkey. Whatever situation, whatever our health challenges, whatever life throws at us, there's always something to be grateful for. You know, a number of years back, you may have, I saw a documentary on TV about a little boy who, and it's entitled, The Boy Who Lived in a Bubble. There's a little boy by the name of, his name is David Vetter. He was born in the early 70s. And he was born with no immunity, with zero immune system. And so the slightest infection could kill him. Viral, bacterial, the slightest infection could kill him. And so they built a bubble for him to live in that was completely and totally sterile. And, you know, he basically lived in there for 12 years before he eventually died. But they built this bubble, they thought, if we can just keep him in a sterile environment, he'll be able to live a long life, but he'll never be able to have human contact, he'll never be able to have, it's just really sad. I remember watching this, and they asked him, if you could have anything, what would it be? What would you like in life? This is the year he died. He said, I'd like to be able to walk barefoot on the grass. He said, I'd like to be able to hold my mother's hand. You know, it just struck me. We go through challenges. All of us go through challenges. But all of us have so much to be grateful for. There are people in far worse situations than all of us. The question comes is, what do we do with that gratitude? Because, you know, one of the ways that we genuinely show our gratitude, it comes out in our actions. If you're thankful to God, you spend time with God. You take the time every day. That's one of the ways you show you're really grateful. You take time just to be with God on a daily basis. You take time to thank God for things in your life. Do you share about God? Do you share about the things that God has blessed you with? You know, do you give back to God? The Bible says all good gifts that we have, it all comes from God in the first place. Do you give back to God? You know, how do we live our lives? Do we live a life of appreciation and gratitude? Or are we so focused on this world that we miss that all the things that God has given us? You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says in verse 23, so I'm out of my mind to talk like this. He's talking about, are they servants of Christ? I'm more. He says, I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 shot of stone. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked, besides everything else. I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. Skip down to chapter 12. In verse 9 he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, when we go through the hard times, when we go through the difficult times, when we go through the challenges in life, that's the time when God has the opportunity to shine more brightly in and through our lives than at any other time. If you're going through a difficult time, let someone know. Let the church know. So we can support you. So we can pray for you. So we can be united together. And so that when the relief comes, that we can all rejoice together. Because the Bible says that when one part suffers, we all suffer, but when one part rejoices, we all rejoice. That can only happen if we're open and we share our weaknesses. Let's take a moment now, just to bow our heads and give thanks to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, just for life itself. God, we're so grateful, Father, for the fact that you have given us an opportunity to know you. Father, we're grateful for Jesus Christ who died on our behalf. Father, who paid the price for our sins, and because of his sacrifice, we have the chance to have a relationship with you. I pray, God, that this is something we don't take for granted. I pray, Father, that we don't take our health for granted. The fact that we can all be here this morning, that we can sit, that we can listen, that we can hear, that we can see. God, help us to be grateful. Father, help us, Father, just to remember to thank you constantly, continuously. Father, I pray that we can learn just as a congregation, just to be a more grateful and appreciative congregation, just generally. Father, that your glory may shine through, God, particularly even when we go through challenges, that people can see that we have a joy that comes not based on circumstances, but simply based on the fact that you have blessed us in so many ways. And Father, even as Paul wrote, that our light and momentary troubles, they're producing in us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. God, that whatever we go through in this life, we know that it's only temporary. That one day that it's all going to end and we will enter into eternity. Father, help us to look forward to that day. Help us, Father, to be aware that ultimately that's really all that's worth living for, is for eternity. I pray, Father, we can keep a right perspective. I pray, Father, that we won't forget that everything, life is short, and that we'll make the effort to put you first in all situations. Father, thank you for life. Thank you, God, that we have this day that we can come before you with thanksgiving. I pray, Father, it'll continue for the rest of the week. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
As I stand, we sing a final song. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let's stand.